Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Child Youth Protection Manual Update Workshop. Heyo! If you're looking for Natalie Runyon, the other Natalie, it's across the hall. So no hard feelings. I'd like to be there as well. If you showed up at the wrong Natalie's workshop, it's okay to leave. You won't hurt my feelings, I promise. But we're so glad you're here. We're so excited to share what the denomination has been working on. If you were here, how many of you were here last year at Connection, where we said we got to update this thing, right? So here we are. It's really real. If you've been hearing that an update is coming, ta-da, today it's official. There's a real update, a real website, training, all sorts of resources that we're going to share with you today. This is going to be recorded, so please don't feel like you have to write everything down or memorize this. All of this is actually going to be available on our website today. We're going to do a little show and tell with the website. So the way our time is going to work today, there's actually four of us that will be talking, and we just wanted to make it a little not boring because it's policies. So we want to make sure that we're equipping you to do what you do best in discipling the next generation and influencing the folks at your church who are doing that, right? Your toddler room workers and your youth ministers. So we're really excited to be here. We're going to share like some of the bigger updates. There's a lot in the manual that is unchanged, but we did make it a little bit more user-friendly. Can I get an amen? All right, so I did, just for old time's sake, bring my giant binder. Anyone else? It's on page 2. Yes, exactly. You know, section 9.7. I brought it in case you're like, I never want to see that thing again today. We just praise God for growth and opportunities and also support from just the denomination in order to make these big updates. So we're actually going to move through a couple of the bigger policies, updates that we think that you'd be interested in. And then we're going to set up some scenarios where you can try to figure out, like you can be detectives. This is next gen, right? So you get to have a little fun. You get to be the detectives, try to find what's wrong in this scenario. And then we'll discuss it. So we're going to move through our time together with a couple, like, overview things. And then we'll get to some practical application. Does that sound good? Okay. I'm going to welcome Emily Plater. Oh, I should have introduced myself. My name's Natalie Working. I do National Foursquare Next Gen stuff. That's the easiest way to say it. My business card says nothing because I don't know what I would put on it. But Emily Plater is the director of Shared Mission. Next Gen is under Shared Mission as part of our organizational structure. So Emily's going to share a little bit this morning.
Well, thank you. It is so great to be here because I have been a kids pastor and I have led in those spaces, and I was actually trained in child youth protection from a young age. I was raised up in it. And so, like you, I'm very excited that we've come to a day where we get to have an update and talk together, because we know that even though we're going to talk about policies today, these are policies that are a reflection of much more than just trying to like protect our churches or be legally compliant. And that's what I just want to share a bit about, because we're going to get into policies and like how we're going to do this and how we want to equip you. But I also want to just start by saying we're here today and we're talking about this because for us as the Foursquare Church, as the Foursquare family, the children and youth are an absolute priority. The next generation matters to us. And we believe not only does it matter to us and we're called to them, we believe it's an essential part of being the people of God. And so this is policy that's a reflection of our theology. It's a reflection of our identity. It's a reflection of what we believe the Bible teaches us, right? And I just want to share like just kind of three whys for the denomination when we come to this. We do this because we believe it's what the Bible asks us to do. This is a contextualized example of caring for the next generation. In Proverbs, we're told that speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves, for the rights of all who are destitute. When we talk about child and youth protection, I believe that we are living that out, that we have a responsibility to speak and make policies and environments that protect the voiceless, right? Our youngest ones that they're the most vulnerable. And so we speak for those who cannot speak for themselves. And, you know, I love this Mark 10. We're probably, a lot of us are next gen people in here. When the children were trying to get to Jesus and the disciples were making it hard, right? And Jesus said, don't make it hard for kids to get to me. And that is really at the heart of what we're going to talk about today. This might make your life harder. It's true. But we're okay with that because it's going to make it easier for kids to get to Jesus. And it's going to remove obstacles, and it's going to keep obstacles from getting in their way. And so that's why we're all here. And we know that children are a gift. And so we all know that from the Bible. But I do think when we're talking about this stuff, it's good to remember our why before we get to the how. And then even as a Foursquare church, even these last years, we've really talked about our value of a healthy culture. And this is a reflection of this, that's not just a reaction to things. That's the environments that we cultivate and we prioritize. And we believe in empowering the next generation. And so we're going to do the hard work to keep them safe and healthy. And then we're doing this because we know that the world has changed and we probably need some help with some new best practices. Anybody feel that with me? As Natalie has been quick to remind me in this process, our original child and youth protection, which is pretty awesome, actually, was cutting edge at the time, it was released the same year the iPhone was released. So that means there might be some new practices that we might need to adapt in order to keep fulfilling the call and the heart of the original policies. We're not changing that, but we're saying, hey, how can we do this better in the world we're living in today? So that's really our heart. And I think before we jump in, I just want to confess that one of the things Natalie and I have learned in this process, so both of us have done kids ministry and pastored, and we're the good ones who consult the manual, you know? And all of you are in that group, right? Because you're here. You're like, we know we have a child youth protection, we train, we do things. And we sat through meetings on this and sitting with our general counsel, and we're working through stuff. We found out we broke the rules a lot. We did that. So we just want to let you know that as we go through this, this is not about being perfect at this. This is really about a commitment to move towards this. We all don't know things, and sometimes you're just stuck in a situation and you do the best you can. We all know that in Next Gen. But so don't be let's laugh at our mistakes and learn from them. And so grateful for each of you, because I know the fact that you are here means that you share the passion for keeping our kids safe, for making our churches the most healthy, whole places they can be, so our kids and youth can meet Jesus and hear what he has to say about their lives.
Yeah, apparently if you break some of the rules, they make you rewrite the new one. So use that as a motivation to try to get it right. Otherwise, we're calling you in 5 years when this one needs an update. We did want to share who's been a part of this, in case you're wondering, where did this come from? Who can I go to? We actually hired Presidium, which is an outside company. They are considered experts in abuse prevention and risk mitigation and management, and their influence has been just something that we could never have done this without their influence. A lot of these words are exactly the way that they wrote them, because we said, that's so good. But in addition to that, we've had a Foursquare team, Emily and I, Rick Guerra in the back. Rick has been just championing this whole project. Please, yeah, for real, we need to give him a hand. This landed on Rick's desk, and so between Rick, Emily, and I, Josh Best, our legal counsel, and Juan Viejo, who is our multi-ethnic specialist, we have spent, we don't know how many hours. Rick, do you have a guess? We don't know how many hours we have spent on this. So it's been an actual, a really balanced policy manual that works between all of us. What actually works at churches, what works for legal, and then what actually works for practitioners on the field. And guys like Jeremiah and Brittany have been so valuable in this process. They're local youth pastors in San Diego. And very early on, we realized, one, I need somebody that's doing this day in and day out. These guys have been partners. We were thinking over a year, They're about 20 hours into Zoom calls this far, in a year at least, and have a very diverse youth group and had asked me questions about the Child Youth Protection Manual. And I was like, oh, you should be a part of this. You're actually reading the thing. So we've had numerous input of they have read every word. And we have other next gen leaders across the country who have been a part of the process, reading it, giving feedback, going, I don't know how that works. This part is still unclear. So we've worked really hard to make sure we've had enough eyes on this. But you guys should know we're still like processing through some of it. We have a board approved draft that will actually go into effect in July. We're going to talk a little bit about that later. So there's a few sections. We're still hammering out the details because this team is still wanting to make sure that we present the best product, the best policies that work for the most amount of people. So it's been a very collaborative effort between legal practitioners and some of our staff. And I actually want Jeremiah and Brittany to share, because you guys have seen it, and it's not just us who are like paid to say this. They've seen all of it, read all of it. If you want to share a little bit about like what you're thinking, why you feel like this is important.
Yeah, we were talking with Natalie, like I think a couple weeks ago, and we were like talking about when the Child Youth Protection Manual was last updated, and I was 11 years old. I'm 27, and Jeremiah is, oh, he was 15, and he's 31, and so it's been a long time. But I was also thinking, I like to think about like different generations, and I'm a millennial. He's a millennial. And then there's Gen Z, there was Gen Alpha, there's now Gen Beta, and all of them had to go through, like, our leadership, like, great leadership, but with, like, a manual that was meant for kids like me, or kids, like, even before me, right? And so I think there's so much value in this manual because, like they were saying, it's an updated, like, culturally relevant manual for kids that are just went through a pandemic and have changed so much. Technology's changed so much. The way that they interact with adults and the ways that our kids could be at risk is so different. But even through this process, like, as, like, we were reading through the things, I was like, the same thing, like, I have messed up so much. I did not interview any of my junior helpers. I should be better at zone monitoring. Like, I had a friend, like, in the nursery. She has a kid, but she's a visitor, and she didn't have a badge. Like, there were so many things, like, that I, like, just started, like, ruminating on. But we're all leaders that are forever learners and adaptable, and I believe that we have a manual that is going to help us, and that this is a place and this is a space that is inviting all of us to, like, hey, let's be better, but it's okay that we didn't know some of these things. So. Oh.
Sorry, we're recording, so that's the hints of awkward transitions there. So as Brittany just mentioned, I was 15 when this thing was updated. I was at my second of three high schools, and like it's just crazy to think of how long I've had an iPhone, that this thing's as old as an iPhone. And, you know, I learned a new why for this actually yesterday. One of the things I'm really thankful for is how user-friendly this document was. If you guys were in the business meeting yesterday and heard Jared Kula refer to Article 9-3.7.A, that's not this manual, and I'm very thankful that it's much, much easier to find stuff. So thank you. And a big thing I thought of when we were thinking of why is I am one of those people who has read the manual. I was very lucky that the first Foursquare church that I worked at, I moved in with the pastors, and as I moved into their house, I walked into my room for the first time. I set my suitcase down, and I was like, what is that binder leaning up against the pillow? It was the child safety manual, and it had a note that said, you have to read this before you do anything. So I'm very thankful, Dee Dee Costello from Bishop, thank you for that. But it made me think of my engagement with that manual, and there are two groups of people that I think this manual is really going to help. And if we're honest with ourselves in this room, we all fall into one or both of them. The first one is those of us who read the manual and just quite frankly feel like it didn't help us with certain things like social media engagement. It wasn't even a blind spot. It just wasn't a thing yet, like engaging with kids in social media, kids engaging with each other. So those are those people that couldn't find the answers they needed in the manual and had to go consult other sources. And there are those of us that, quite frankly, it's been out of sight, out of mind. It's such an old document, and I think bringing a new document forward is important because it brings eyes back to it, and it puts it back in the forefront of everything we're doing, and I really feel like this manual will address both of those people and bring a lot of comfort to the rightful anxieties that you've been feeling about engaging with child and youth protection.
So good. Thank you, guys. They're going to share some scenarios here in a little bit as well, but we want to show you the product. Are you ready? This is what you came for. You're like, all right, I get it. Let's go. This is not just a manual update. This has actually become a full-fledged, like, working website where most of the manual is not meant to be printed. I will say, though, where are my printed friends? Like, I need it. This is what it looks like printed, in case you're wondering. I did print it if you want to take a look. But we're very excited. Most of it is, all of it is going to be available online. This helps that it's available if you're at a camp or you're at an offsite. You need that checklist. Oh my goodness, how do I do that thing? It's all available on a website. So there is a manual, a website that has supplemental resources. So where's that incident form? A separate incident form for suspicion of abuse and a separate incident form for injuries. Anybody else excited about that? Yeah. So these are some real practical, helpful supplemental resources available on our website. And then it also comes with a 45-minute training video for you to use that covers what's in the manual in case people don't want to read the document. We want everyone to read the document, but this would be so useful in a group setting, an annual, you know, volunteer update. Hey, everyone, we're going to watch this manual. Comes with like knowledge checks to sort of like capture everybody's attention. So, yes. Yes, everything's available in Spanish already. Thanks, Juan Viejo. We're already working on additional, Portuguese will be the next language. Yes, yes. So, here, I can do an
explain. Yeah, so we're going to do a little show and tell. And Rick, thank you. This, making the delivery this simple is really, Rick is hard work and his team. So there we are, foursquare.org/CY, I'm really, PM, okay. This is on our website. You'll see here, we got space for sample forms, supplemental resources, we've got procedures and things. So one of the things we did to make the manual more user-friendly is the supplemental resources we removed from kind of the essential policies so that they don't get mixed up, right? So if you need a checklist, you can go to those things. Those can change. We can update those without going to the board to get approval because they're not policy. They're just like resources, right? And then what's really essential, the kind of non-negotiables, are in one spot. And then we'll have sample forms. You can see all resources here. And then if you go up, let's see, we will be adding the training. I'm going to add into the one that says they're going to be about a little bit farther. There we go, the additional training materials. Oh, look it, you might be on this one. So we'll be recording. We're also going to be setting up some Zoom webinars in the future where, so if you have other leaders across the nation that weren't able to come to convention, us and the team will be having webinars to help introduce this, answer questions, those kinds of things, and you, as those resources get developed. And then if you scroll up to the top where Natalie was, you'll see we right down below Natalie, there we go, we'll have you'll be able to download the draft right there, so it'll always be available for you. And then as of July 1st, we'll have a new training video that's coming. Then the training video will really be targeted for volunteers. So it will be really focused on abuse prevention that everybody needs to know, not what the licensed minister running the organization needs to know. So that will help you with your training of all your volunteers and those kinds of things. It will be... It'll do a section that you'll stop discussions and be able to do it in a group, those kinds of things that it's designed so that you could have a teacher's meeting and watch it all together, and you won't have to have 8 weeks of teacher's meetings. Or was it six sessions on the old one? Four? Yeah. you know, and so that it can be done in one shot if you want, or you can space it out and those kinds of things. Yeah. Oh.
Foursquare Church. Foursquare.church/CYPM.
But we'll be sending this out. There'll be links on our website to this. If you go to the website and search Child Youth Protection, we're going to make this accessible and make sure that if you get to our website, you'll be able to figure out how to get there and get that out for you.
Just checking. Yes. Yes, question. Oh, it's 45 minutes. It's a 45-minute training. We do recommend, like Emily was saying, that you pause and discuss. It can also be done one-on-one, though. If you go, I only have three teachers, like we don't have a meeting, you'll be able to send them a link, say, hey, I need you to watch this as a part of your, turn in your background check paper, do all the screenings, and then you have to watch this additional video. So it's 45 minutes. But it covers, I feel like there's really good content in there that would be appropriate that you could show annually. If you've ever worked in a marketplace job, like I was a nurse, we had to do, you know, bloodborne pathogens annually, the exact same video every year, because there's something about the repetition. So while we're not mandating that you have to do that, we would suggest, like, this is a 45-minute video, you know, maybe an initial large group and then an annual, hey, everyone, we want to update, refresh what we know about our Child Youth Protection Manual. Yeah. I will tell you, the manual is divided into three sections, and if you can come up and touch and feel this one if you still don't believe it's real. at the end of this, yes. Do what? You can download it. Yeah, I'm just saying, if you're a paper lover like me and you want to still carry this with you, you can come up and look. But it's available. The manual is available for download. We just lost everyone because everyone's going to be reading it now. It's great. We should have started it. It goes live at 1 p.m. That's what we should have done. But we did. One of my, like, hill of beans I was willing to die on in this project is that we could separate this into sections so that it wasn't like my volunteers need these three pages and these four pages and this one form. So there's section one. That's for everyone. Section two. Two, that's for like staff or licensed ministers. And then section three, that's for overnight or off-site events. Because a lot of that stuff that was in the previous manual, it's great content, but my toddler worker didn't need to know how to handle camp bathrooms, right? That was not something that they needed. And so too much information was maybe an overload, and so they didn't follow any of it, right? So we tried to like streamline where you could go, this section one is what I need everyone to do. Section three, I'm going to do that with the people that I'm taking, you know, on our overnight concert that we're taking our youth group to. They need to know that. How do we handle hotel rooms, camp bathrooms, that type of thing. So we're really excited about that. And then all the forms, like you saw on the website, are not a part of the actual document, because we want you to be able to grab them when you need. They're fillable online. And then whatever your church's policy on record keeping, we want you to follow that. So save it as a PDF. Host it on a server. Whatever you do currently with your incident reports, some of us put them in file folders and in the attic indefinitely. Nobody's raising their hand, but I know you do that. Okay. and whatever your system is, you can keep doing that, but they can be filled out, you know, on a phone digitally. It's a fillable form. Yeah. And then I think we covered the training video already, right? Any other questions about that? Yeah. Go with it. I'm so sorry. You said pastors. It is required for our licensed ministers. If you're a licensed minister, you check the box when you renew your license, if you didn't know that. You check a box that says, I have reviewed the Child Youth Protection Manual. We don't regulate what you do with your volunteers. One, because we cannot manage that in a denomination this size, nor would you want us to, right? Like, yes. Correct. That's best practice. Licensed ministers, absolutely required. We would recommend it for all of your staff. And then we would say, yeah, best guidelines are do it right. The manual actually says training regularly. You get to interpret what regularly means. But we actually, only less than 10% of churches really do this well. That's a national average. Not Foursquare, of course, just as a other denominations. But that's actually the key. Like, training and screening are really the keys to helping the church not be a soft target for kids to be in inappropriate situations. So we would say, like, if you're requiring it every year, keep going. The guidelines say need to be regularly updating your people on what's happening. This also, we'll be adding supplemental resources and training opportunities. So our intention is to create some other videos about, hey, if this situation happens, what might you do? So it keeps it a little bit fresh, and it's not, you know, 15 years later, you're like, I've watched this video 15 times. That there'll be some additional things coming out, perhaps annually. We'll keep you posted on that. Great, yeah. Yes. 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 Absolutely. I'm so glad you asked. And I have to restate the questions so it's on the video. So I forgot to do that. He's asking State of California, and I should let you know that California is not the only state with its own individual requirements. This state we're in currently has some additional requirements that you just wouldn't even believe. So we actually have a place on the website. If you saw, there's a state-by-state resource help. So it tells you what you need. So that's one of the updates that we're going to talk about with background checks, is that we're moving to a state-by-state model. Follow what your state says. We don't want to add additional cost and additional regulations, because the states are now adding those. So we don't want to add to that. We want to empower you guys to do what you need to do in your state. And I will say, background checks are required, mandated, absolute. But that's not really our, that's like almost a false sense of security. So follow what your state says. And also, we need you to do the reference checks, the training, the application that's in the manual. Yes. No, because we also don't mandate how you do your background checks. We have a Foursquare background check program, but some churches across the country choose to do background checks other ways, and we're okay with that. So, yes, you can access state-by-state regulations. You can always use Foursquare's background check form if that's what you're currently doing, but you're also free to do other things. Several people do. Yeah, sometimes we just don't know. We're like, wait, everybody doesn't do this? Okay, ready for the first update? This is like the long-awaited thing. We have a policy for electronic communications. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. So there's a written policy, and the new guidelines basically are to help you and your volunteers and your team communicate and interact with students and youth appropriately on electronic communication. So this would include texting. This includes gaming platforms. This includes social media. It's all covered in there. And the rule basically is no one-on-one interactions. That's sort of a blanket statement way to say it. There's some specific things that we say we recommend you do with your church's pages. You know, start a ministry page where there's several different administrators all seeing the conversations that students are having. We even have some sample, like, scripts in there. We have a policy that's a sample you can use if you want, that you could say to your church, hey, this is our social media policy, right? Like, if someone DMs you on Instagram, then this is what you need to do. We have a sample there, but we're encouraging you, if you need to come up with something, how many of you already have this? You had to do something, right? You had to create your own. That's okay. So we're saying, if you haven't had this, here's a policy. And really, the general rule of thumb you're going to hear throughout all of this is, like, we're just never alone. We're just never one-on-one. Those days are kind of gone anymore. And we used to say, oh, it's fine, same gender. But we all know that also doesn't matter anymore. We affirm gender. I mean, we're not changing that theologically, but we're saying the students that we serve may view it differently. I just almost opened a can of worms. Introducing Reed Sowell. No, I'm just kidding. Reed's in the back. Reed's leaving. No, I wasn't meaning that. I'm just saying, if we used to say it's fine if it's a woman and a girl. We're just saying we're just not alone with kids. We're not texting alone with kids. And for me as a mom, this is really important to me. I have an 11-year-old, and she's wanting to play tennis in the fall. And I feel like I want her to think it's weird if her male tennis coach texts her individually. They have rules that coaches aren't allowed to do that. So it's very odd to me that I would say, but it's okay if your youth pastor does. Right, we get to raise up a generation. We get to be ahead of the curve and in line with what most school districts do, and saying, adults don't text kids, like, at all. Now, if I copy Emily on that, absolutely fine. Somebody else, your spouse, another ministry leader, they don't have to respond. But the key here is that the behavior is observable and interruptible. I got that? So it's not just observable, but also interruptible, that someone could go, hey, that's not appropriate. We need to do something about that. Any questions about that? I think this covers it all. The other thing we did, add a statement about device management at your church. How many of you have a young person that runs slides or media or something? Yeah, and then they're in the sound booth for hours, right, between maybe warm-up or whatever you call it, rehearsal, until service starts, watching YouTube and who knows what in your sound booth. So we do have some additional, just an additional statement in there about managing church devices so that we're creating spaces where students really are safe, where our kids and students are safe. Okay, you guys ready for detective work? This is our first scenario. What you're looking for are red flags, and we're actually going to like bring the mic out to the audience, and you get to say, I see something here. Little Hope Foursquare is excited to have hired a new youth leader after a year of not having anything for their teens. In getting to know the students, the new youth leader works hard to text each student to make an introduction and try to connect. One 14-year-old student responds at 11:30 p.m. that night saying he's struggling with homework and his grade. So the new youth leader texts some prayers and encouragement back and forth for a while. Since it's getting late, she suggests they get together tomorrow at Starbucks so she can help with his homework. The youth leader really does help the student with homework the next day and ends the time feeling like she's made a great connection for future discipleship. Way to go, Little Hope Foursquare. Raise. Yeah, exactly. It's a prophetic name. No. Raise your hand if you are willing to say, I see a red flag, and I'll share what it is. Will you guys take the mic?
You don't have to state your name and where you're from, by the way.
It's not. You have 1 minute. No, I'm just kidding.
The new youth leader is texting student by just a single text.
Ding, ding, ding. Way to go. Okay, what other red flag? So she said, I should maybe repeat it. She said the new youth leader texting a student alone. Yeah, right here.
Making a plan to meet up. One-on-one.
Yes, good job. And listen, I understand this is one of the rules that Emily and I were like, I do this all the time. Like, and parents ask me to. We literally said, like, parents ask me to meet with their kid. Like, they're struggling. Can I drop them off at Starbucks? But we're just saying, based on our experiences in the denomination, in the church world, and what our legal counsel has had to litigate, these are just not safe scenarios anymore. And this is an opportunity, like I said, to disciple our students and children. That there should be, you should have two adults around. This is just safety online, safety in person, and also the opportunity to include more people. Because if your youth ministry is dependent on you meeting alone with a student, we probably need to increase some discipleship and multiplication. And we would love to help with that. We understand that this is maybe one of the tougher updates. We get that. But our legal counsel is not willing to budge, as he should be, to say, we just can't say this is okay anymore. So we'd be willing to help, like, think creatively what this could look like. And that's what our follow-up webinars will be. People go, I don't know how that works in my scenario. Did you have a question? Yes, so good. So a 19-year-old youth pastor meeting with a 17-year-old student, and they start making out. No one in Starbucks thinks that's inappropriate, right? But if they're in a spot at your church where we would say, hey, guys, like, that's inappropriate. You cannot be making out. That's interruptible. So we're not saying you can't meet one-on-one with students. We're just saying it has to be observable and interruptible. So someone would need to know that's inappropriate. But a 19-year-old with a 17-year-old in a public spot, that may not look inappropriate to anyone else. Does that make sense? But at your church, absolutely. Door open, window on the door. We're not saying you can't ever meet with a student. We understand that's a huge part of discipleship, right? Like, this is what we do. So there may be times that you need to do that. We're saying, hey, mom, can you drop them off at the church? I'm here in my office. The secretary's across the hall. Just drop them off here to me. I'll order in coffee. We now, in 2008, we didn't have Grubhub. Now you can just Grubhub some DoorDash, some food to your office, meet there where there's other staff members around. Yeah.
this was really one that we really wrestled through with how the impact on the field. And one of the, for those of you who are big picture like me, one of the principles here is that most abuse in church context starts with inappropriate intimacy, not like a plan. And so that's really what this rule is addressing, that we very rarely deal with issues that some sneaky old gross person like wiggles their way into your youth group. It's boundaries getting crossed that lead to more boundaries getting crossed. And so when you, that's why this big one. So it doesn't mean you can't have an individual conversation with kids, but it means that it needs to be interruptible. You have two youth leaders. One's meeting with a kid on that side of Starbucks. One's meeting on this side of Starbucks. You know, secrets are not good for anybody. And this protects your workers and your youth workers and your kids. Yeah. If it's church sponsored, yes.
I think we would say, like, if I know your son is 17, but if you wanted to hire the youth pastor to babysit your kid, that's like, you can do what you want. Like, you can feel all, like, whatever you decide to do there and who's welcome in your home alone with your child, that's okay. But if this is someone that's, like, on our staff or one of our volunteers that's doing this in the name of the church, like, I'm doing this for discipleship, we would say not one-on-one. So another student or another leader, someone else involved in that, it does actually increase multiplication. So we understand this is a big one. I actually want to let Brittany speak to this because I went to them. I said, guys, this is where we're headed, and this feels like, I mean, I've broken this rule a million times. So I get it. I have to shift what I'm currently doing in my ministry as well. But Brittany said something so wise.
Yeah, I was just saying, just to give a little context, me and Jeremiah are a two-person youth team. And I regularly meet with the girls in my youth group and disciple them. But since learning about this rule, now I can't do that anymore. And it's going to change a lot about how I do ministry, but I know that it's so worth it because I know that my kids are safe, right? I love them so much. They're like my little ducklings. And so I just, like, I really want to make sure that, like, they're protected and that, like Natalie said, that they know that it's weird, like, to not, like, to be only with one person. Yeah, and to just also to, like, be above reproach, like, in every scenario, so that parents also know that, like, I'm a safe person, Jeremiah is a safe person, our staff's safe people to come to, and for our kids to be discipled, because we're participating in this, even if it's hard, right?
It's really good. And we also, when we say it's okay in this scenario, but it's not okay for my tennis coach, like my situation earlier, my kid's tennis coach, but it is okay for the youth pastor. We're leaving that up to kids' discernment, which is great. My kid is filled with the Spirit, but I don't trust her discernment all the time with people, right? I'm like, that's a bad friend. Like, I don't say that. I'm like, we need to separate from this friend, right? So we're actually trying to help kids learn. Like, we're discipling them to go, it's safe. I feel safe when there's two people involved or someone else here. Yeah. Also okay. Yeah, we would recommend two adults, but, you know, we've all had the situation where we have to, you know, we can't help it. So we would say that's okay. Best case scenario is, you know, two adults with a kiddo, but also another kid. Like, that's interruptible, right? If my scenario, I know this sounds so odd, except it actually happens, of a 19-year-old and a 17-year-old in Starbucks. Another student there would also be like, guys, stop making out. This is weird, right? So, like, that, I'm laughing, but it actually happens. So another student in that moment would interrupt the behavior. We need someone there that would go, hey, this seems weird, right? Or go home and tell their parents, hey, the youth pastor is making out with a girl. That seems weird, right? Yes, back there. Amen. Yeah. Time of day. All of them. I know. This is a personal example, except my church is not called Little Hope. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. 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 And we don't lead with that conversation. I don't ever want to come in here and go, hey, everyone, this is how we protect ourselves. That is a second. Our primary purpose is protecting children and youth so that they will follow Jesus the rest of their life and not experience hurt at the hands of the church. Because we've done it. I'm quoting Jeremiah here. We've already done it. You haven't, but we have, the church, right? So how do we not allow situations like that? But the secondary thing is this protects all of us, right? And it's no longer a gender thing. I have a dear, dear girl I mentored, was a Young Life regional director, has completely been taken out of ministry because of a girl that accused her of something that was unsubstantiated, but there was no recovering from it. And that's a girl with a female youth leader who loves Jesus, is spirit-filled, and was killing it, but the accusation she could never recover from, had to leave the town. So we're just not willing to say, you know what, it's okay sometimes, and let's just like take it case by case. We just have to say, we got to find a better way to do this. And let me also say, you don't have to do this, like, if you have a meeting planned for Sunday after church, it's okay. This is not like you're violating policy starting today. Emily's going to talk a little bit about when we're releasing this and then how long you have to adapt ministries to fall in line with these new policies. Because we understand, like, we're all doing this. We're all, like Brittany said, I have to adjust. We're in this together. Yeah. Sure. This is just my solution brain. I'm not saying this is a blanket, but call someone from the church. Like, hey, I need to have a meeting here at 2. Could you please just sit? Like, I'll even buy your coffee. Like, yeah, just someone else there that you go, they had eyes. So when the student goes, he said, he touched me inappropriately. There's another adult, right? I mean, this is power of two witnesses is all the way in scripture. Jesus sent them out 2 by 2 for strength and encouragement. But you have to wonder, right? Like, why? Why couldn't they go alone? I'm not a theologian. I should stay in my lane. I'm just saying there's something about 2 people doing ministry together, right? Like, that is a model that seems biblical to me. So that would be like one quick creative solution. Or you just say, I can only do this after 5 o'clock when my staff's around. Like, those type of boundaries actually do create safety, you know? And we're not, listen, in an emergency situation, like, we even are training next gen volunteers this week at Connection. Like, you're not supposed to restrain a kid, but if he runs out the door into traffic, like, grab that kid and restrain him. Like, these are the guidelines, the best practices, the policies. But like, if there's an emergency situation, someone's actively committing suicide or something, this is next gen ministry. Like, this is what we do with our lives. Like, jump in, intervene. We're saving lives. That's protection as well. But as a general rule, right, we prohibit one-on-one.
Can I add something to that?
Yes. Actually?
So I pastored in a really small town, and I was, like, literally the only youth guy for a long part of it. And there was a young girl in the church who didn't feel comfortable meeting with our associate pastor. She only felt comfortable with me. And the mom called and asked. I told her, like, how about you come to the meeting and you sit a little bit away and I put it on the parent to be a part of it.
Really good.
And then, because what that did and what it makes me think of, how many times have you gone into Starbucks with a youth kid and kind of like moved that kid away from a person who was there? And now we're trusting that person to be the one to interrupt the behavior. Mm. That's just not going to happen. So if their parent's there, that behavior will be interrupted.
That's really good. Yeah. Yeah, we want to disciple parents as well. Right. Exactly. Exactly. Absolutely. Right. Yes. So good. So good. Some of this is we want to empower you to have discernment, right? Like we actually can't write every policy. It's so nuanced. I have learned that through this whole procedure or this whole policy update is there are so many nuanced situations. You would never read it if we did write a policy, but we need to think like this and go, you know what? I'm not supposed to be one-on-one, but that does 2 10-year-olds, like one's not going to testify in court. So who could be there? Yeah. Yes. Yep. Josh Best is going to love you. Like, I'm going to give him your name. It's so good. Yeah, Jess in the back. Nope. You are correct. You don't have to be in the conversation in Starbucks. What he was saying is the parent sitting over there, other church staff member, like, hey, I have a meeting with a student at 3. Could you work at Starbucks? Like I said, buy him coffee. So interruptible. So this also means like in a sanctuary, right? Or like everyone's here. I can talk to a student over here. We can have a private conversation is fine. Secrecy is not. Okay, so private's okay, but secret is not. That makes sense? Yes, it's in here. We have it. We have it. We say you cannot text students alone except to remind them that our policy is I can't text you without another adult. Let me start a group text. So it's actually the wordings. We even wrote it for you. So you go, hey, thanks for the message. I'm praying for you, but our social media policy says I can't DM you. I'm going to loop in whoever they're comfortable with. Or random stranger, if they're more comfortable with that. Like, you can just include me in the message if you need somebody to back you up. Yeah. Mic drop. We are trusting you to tell them. Like, you are empowered to preach the word. And we will, this is the first. Congratulations. You guys are cutting edge. So go tell your friends. But this is a slow rollout. We actually expect from now until the end of the year, we're going to keep saying the same thing over and over and over. So that then people are asking you questions, right? Like, hey, what's the solution? And you guys will be able to say, hey, like, this is, you know, you can't have a guitar lesson with the student when no one else is in the building, but I'll come bring my laptop and work there. Like, you guys are empowered to do that. It's very hard for us to mandate exactly for everyone in every church in every Foursquare place. Like, that's hard to do. Yeah. Oh, that's in there. It's actually really good. We do list in here other, if you don't know, team reaches, group messaging platforms. We're not mandating what that is, but we're saying maybe you ought to get one, right? So that could be Remind. It could, whatever it is that there's a couple leaders in. Kids also operate this way. I don't know if you ever looked at a kid's, they have a million group chats. Like, this feels a little odd to us because we don't maybe always do that. But like my 13-year-old niece, her phone is only group chats. Like, it's all group chats. So we're just saying there are plenty of platforms out there. Pick your favorite and say, hey, youth leaders, this is what we use. That's fine. Coach, yeah. Yeah. Lori is an action coordinator in the Northwest. She's a cross-country coach. She said, like, I am not allowed to text a student. Like, why do we allow, why have we been allowing that? So I'm actually going to move us forward. There are more exciting updates. but we, like I said, we're hosting, we've said over and over, several webinars to do just this. Like, hey, you, this is what you're saying to do. It doesn't match my situation, help me solve it. Like, we're in it. We're linking arms with you to say, we're in it. We want to help you solve that problem. I'm going to let you talk about a new exciting update.
All right. Yeah, they just keep getting more and more exciting. So this one is an update to, like, junior helpers and ratios. So these are new updated ratios. And I want to remind, these are the minimum requirement. So meaning you guys don't know the needs of faith community youth like I do. So there might be certain behavioral requirements. There might be certain, like, medical requirements that call for more. We're asking at least 1 to 4. So if your ministry requires 1 to 2, you know that, but this is the minimum requirement. So for toddlers, now a 1 to 4 ratio. And it's always a minimum of 2 adults. So what that means is if you have 1 student, that does not fall within the 1 to 4. You still need to have at least 2. So if it's 1 or up to 8, at least 2 with toddlers. 1 to 8 for preschool. 1 to 12 for elementary. And the number's not there. I think it's 1 to 20 for youth, correct?
Yes. And I'll say these didn't change a whole lot if anyone have the other ones memorized. On a live quiz. They didn't change a lot, but we did change the age groups because it was like 2.5. And you're like, who separates by 2.5 anymore? Nobody does that. So we actually, there are ages broken down here that would say 2 to 3, 4 through K. That's mostly what changed. The ratios are not that different. They mirror previous, but these are national standards that Presidium recommends, not our numbers. Yes, in the back. Currently, it's 1 to 20.
Yeah, changing
and
down
every
to
camp
20,
leader
correct.
Said thank you, but it is 1 to 20. Most youth pastors are like, I would never send 50 students with 2 leaders anyways. So that didn't feel like a big hit. That seems like, if you're doing that, you should come teach this workshop because you're a better youth leader than me. So it's it'll be 1 to 20 now, but I don't know that we'll notice because I don't think anyone was doing 1 to 25. Oh, in the back. I'm going to go this one first. Yes, that one is unchanged. Really, like, I know you can look at it later, but what we did here was make the age group breakdowns more clear, and the ages are listed. But if you remember, it's birth to 2.5, 2.5 to 5. Those didn't seem to fit where we are as a culture anymore because 5-year-olds are in kindergarten. So what do you do with that, right? Are they in first grade? Are they whatever? So we just broke down. This is sort of just a header slide. The full detail is in the document. The big update is junior helpers, though. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah. So, and then one thing, actually, I forgot to mention. For 6th grade, it's up to your church. If 6th graders in your church are elementary age, follow the 1 to 12. If you're like our church and 6th graders come to youth, 1 to 20. 6th graders are the one moving piece. And then the other big update, junior helpers, if you notice, it says 2 adults. Junior helpers do not count towards your ratio on either side. So if you have 12 elementary school kids and a junior helper, that junior helper does not become 13. They do not count as a child for your ratio, and they do not count towards that adult number. Yeah?
you must go to a four square church. Yes, it's still true. We still need a second adult in the room. We understand one thing we've gone around and around, especially with our multi-ethnic specialist, is just the family culture. And how does that work? What does that look like for even our Hispanic churches? And like I said, you must go to a four-square church. Like, we're all related, usually, a lot of places. So can you have coffee with your niece? Yeah, we're not mandating that. That's a family relationship. That is not a primary church relationship. We would say if there are other students in the room who you aren't related to, then yeah, we need that second adult. Yeah. But how old is she? No, we have to have two adults. Two adults. And the other thing is junior helpers have to be 3 years older than the people they serve. So should we do the scenario?
Yeah, let's
do a
fun scenario.
I just gave away
scenario.
An answer. Yeah. I ruined his scenario.
All right, it's all good. It was a record attendance week at Gated Community Fellowship, and I just want to take a second. Can we just give it up to Natalie for these church names? These are incredible. Total Thought Projects, well
Little
done.
Little Hope.
They had 27 fourth and fifth graders with their two usual adult leaders. So luckily, one of the volunteer sons jumped in to help. He's a seventh grader who spent most of his time watching YouTube videos in the sound booth, but at least he was there to help with running the slides and supervising bathroom runs. Everyone leaves feeling tired that morning, but excited for the big increase in attendance. So let's,
we have like 1 minute. Someone raise your hand and shout out a problem. Right there. Oh, okay. Anyone see? We have 1 minute to tell us a question.
Tim, let's hear it.
I'm sorry, not 1 minute left. Yeah. Ooh, we're like rushed. 1 minute to discuss. Ratio's wrong, right?
Yes.
Ms. Tom, he's not 3 years older. Anybody else? Bathroom. Hey, guys, this is one of our largest liabilities. We cannot. Junior helpers are not bathroom supervisors. So they can do all sorts of things. They cannot supervise bathroom trips. Yes, YouTube in the sound booth. Uh-oh. Is there something on there? Is there a monitoring device? Do we have Covenant Eyes?
Yeah. So, and the biggest thing, I know it's easy to say 13 and a half is so close to 12. Again, 12 is an absolute minimum requirement. With my knowledge of fourth and fifth graders, I would want even more than three adults in that
true.
Room.
True, that's very true.
But yeah, so we see the seventh grader helping with fourth and fifth grade kids. It violates the ratio requirements, helper guidelines, church device safety, whole smorgasbord of issues there. So the best practice would be screened adults meet ratios. So for 27, you would need at least three adults in that room. And then helpers are in non-supervisory roles. And that doesn't mean we can't empower students to truly disciple. But if we are empowering students to disciple, we are discipling those students as they do it. And we are modeling and teaching them in that. We're not just throwing them to the wolves.
So good. Quick question about this, and then we'll move to the third scenario. So good. You should download the manual. We've done a good job, I think. You can give me feedback of explaining bathroom situations. And we actually wrestled through, could we write a policy that would work? But even the, like, five of us in the churches we go to, like, nothing worked because it's so nuanced. Like, do you have individual stalls? Is it a multi-stall bathroom? So part of the webinars will be, how do you make bathrooms work? That may be an additional training video of, like, if you have this, do this. If this were me, we're all going to the bathroom. We're taking a bathroom. Hey, everyone, I build 15 minutes into the schedule. We all run to the bathroom, right? If there is an emergency, we hopefully have a next-gen leader who's around that then can help take bathrooms with two adults. Yeah. Right. So the off-site overnight events will also specifically address, like, how does that work at camp? What does that look like at a concert venue? Like, we would say at your church, stand outside and be an earshot. But we don't want you to do that if you're at a concert with 100,000 people. Please don't stand outside the bathroom and send your students in. Like, that's not safe either. So we're actually going to address that in the off-site overnight events as well. I'm going to move us forward to the third big update.
Yeah. So the third big update is visitors and background checks. Are we also doing minor to minor?
Yes, I think that's on. Yeah.
So in minor to minor abuse, it was like totally shocking for me. I'll pull up the statistic for you guys. But when Natalie and us were talking about this, over half of the incidences reported by Presidium involve youth-to-youth abuse. And hearing that, like, 70 to 77% of reported sexual abuse was done by another peer was absolutely heartbreaking and eye-opening to me that this is an issue that's happening, like, in our churches. And so that's why I really love what the Child Youth Protection Manual talks about that. It goes into more detail about how we can have best monitoring practices over our kids and ways to, there's level one, level two, level three of like progressive discipline for the kids that may interact with each other in an inappropriate or sexually inappropriate way. But also for visitors having an identification badge, like I told you guys earlier, that is something that I struggle with. And need to do right after this. And then also supervision. Visitors are never left alone with minors. It says that explicitly inside of the manual as well. And enhanced screening, national and sex offender registry checks. Not only a criminal background check, but of the national sex offender list as well. And then like Natalie was saying, that there's, in our state, we do like life scanning. And we do that. We also do criminal background checks every year, but it depends on your state.
Yes.
When you are required to do those like life scans or the criminal background checks.
And that's all on the website. It has a whole section, if you remember seeing it, that said state requirements. You click on it, you click on your state, it tells you what you need to do. So we're empowering leaders to follow their state guidelines. And then what she mentioned, one of the biggest updates that was missing, that we identified as missing in the previous manual, was this youth on youth behavior. How do we handle that? What do we do with it? What are the signs? What do we need to watch for?
Yeah, gosh, that was eye-opening for me. Yeah, Tim?
Yeah. Actually, the camp, if you ask the camp, they usually have a policy for that. So, and that's actually a really good point. Anyone from Colorado Kids Camp here last year, people came out of state, didn't know the requirements, had to go home. So the campground that you're working with is the expert. So if they're cool saying, did you background check your kids, bring them on in, then we're good with that. But the campground is the kind of governing authority, and usually it's by county. Like, so camps have to follow their county guidelines. Yeah. Yeah. Read that scenario.
Oh, there's another question.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Actually, I was watching a mom do this last night, and I'm like, next year, shopping list for Connection Kids, visitor tags. Yes. So we would just say, here, mom, just put that on. Because what we're trying to do is help build a culture where we go, these are safe adults. So, if she's background checked and she's, no, they just need a visitor badge, right? You can be alone if you're nursing a baby. That's okay. Yes. I'm sorry. Any information on transgender? No, we don't. It's a different conversation that we're not writing policy on, one that's an ever-changing conversation. So if I wrote verbiage today, by next May, it would be outdated. That's the nature of the community that we serve, but we're happy to help with that conversation, and our next-gen coordinators are equipped to have those conversations, help people navigate it, but we're not writing policy on exactly what to do. It's just a nuanced conversation.
Yeah, so I guess, did you have a question?
You're not. We have a whole section.
It does say that, yeah, in there.
We have a very robust discussion, and it's all outlined. We have a policy currently, but I feel like it's not very clear. Yeah, that's a good way to say it. This one is more clear, how we handle that. We want to empower.
And I'll just say that is totally okay. So we talk about screening adults that have employment status and don't have employment status, how long they've lived in a country, those kinds of things. So that is in the manual. And if you need help on that, like, reach out to us. We're happy to have more in-depth conversation about that. But we clarified that so you don't have to feel like, oh, is it just me? Like, we've made that clear.
It's not just you. It's everyone. You can reach out to your next gen coordinator. I'll see your, not right now. We're like training them today too. or your multi-ethnic. We'll be looping in at your multi-ethnic coordinator so they're aware of how that works to answer those questions. Yeah. This is an additional, it's on my list for additional training. It's also a very nuanced conversation. I will say we have a cause network that is for churches who are passionate about a special needs ministry and or need help with it. So we have a cause network if you're interested. It's actually, you can find it on our website under cause networks. You get involved there. They're the experts. They're the people I go to when I need to write policy or write curriculum that is super inclusive. If you have questions today, we actually have an expert downstairs running our special needs ministry. If you want to pick her brain, she's phenomenal. But that is an additional training that we'd like to provide for churches. The Central District has some on their website. They have 3 sessions of really great training if that's helpful for you all. Cool. Did you already read this or do we need to read it to you? We're approaching time.
Do you want me to?
Yeah, go for it.
Oh, okay.
It's on the recording.
Karen, the kids director at Epic Sunday Kids, is excited for a potential new volunteer coming to check out the ministry this week. When the new volunteer arrives, the person tells Karen that she had a background check in 2018, and Karen gives her a quick tour of the area. In doing so, the kids director notices 2 children arguing and getting physically aggressive, so she posts the new person at the door and tells her to keep an eye out. Karen goes and yells over the 2 arguing kids to get them to stop and then returns to the new person. She jokingly says she probably shouldn't have left her alone on the first day, but welcome to Next Gen Ministry.
This is also another personal example. I'm just pulling. No, I'm just kidding. Anybody see red flags? Yes. So good.
Yeah, that's really
good. You are smart. Yeah. Yeah, yep. Probably in any state, that's not okay.
7 years, yeah. That's a long time.
Anyone else see any problems? No?
I'll point out. Oh, go ahead.
Yelling.
Yes.
So good. Yeah. That's like to say, wait a minute, that's not how we handle it. There is some help for that. That is good for maybe training volunteers that sometimes, you know, you have volunteers that are a little maybe too harsh. You can say, hey, this is our policy. This is how we handle situations like that. Yeah, right. And no visitor badge, left alone. Like, this is the way it is. Like, yeah, oh, that's really good. Like, you're not in yet. I didn't even intend for that one. Yeah, like, we hired you just because you showed up today. Like, we got to raise the bar a little bit, right? Our kids and students deserve it. We've all been in the spot of, like, I need a warm body to meet the ratio, right? But wouldn't we say we would rather not have to operate that way? We would say we want fully screened adults who love Jesus and love kiddos. Yeah. Well, she's posted at the door, and you're like, she has no instruction. She has no training. What is she doing? Like, is she going to stop a kid?
And we don't know what she's done the last 7 years since she's been background checked.
This is true.
You know, so who knows what trouble she's in.
Maybe she's a bouncer. That's perfect. Perfect volunteer spot. After she passes her background check, right? Yeah, exactly. This is so good. All right, any questions about that? That one's pretty cut and dry, but it is an update. Okay, awesome. Emily, do you want to tell us about effective dates? What's next? We have 5 minutes left, so we're going to get you out if you're right on time, but we'll hang out if you have questions, specific nuanced situations. We really do want to help equip you for that.
So many mics, so little time. So really, what's next is that now you have our official draft that you can download today, even before we announce it in the business session later. So you really are the first. You can always be like, I was there the day. And you're like, and then I sent my suggestions. No.
Next year we need pins, Emily, they're saying. We should have gotten. Yeah.
Where were you? We really should. Sorry about that. That's our miss. And so you have that. We're going to be continuing to post to the website as we develop more materials. So because of the importance of this, we made a decision that we were going to focus very singly on the manual and the training video in English and Spanish to deliver kind of like the foundation. and then we'll work on developing the other resources, because we wanted to get that basic thing in your hands as soon as possible. And so those will be available. July 1st is when the date is for this to go into our policy. However, we're all pastors and next-gen people. Like, can you even get anybody to, like, show up to a meeting between June and the last week in September, like, in the middle of September, right? Like, and if you, whoever's there is, like, running camp in VBS, right? Like, there's not, like, you're having, like, let's retrain all our volunteers. We understand that. We need a date to say, hey, from here on out, this is how we're training new people. This is how our licensed ministers are going to be trained. These are the policies. But we understand that, like, we're going to have a period. We're good with this, right, Rick? We never like, yeah. There's like a safe harbor kind of period where we say we're starting July 1st, but the rest of the year you have to implement it, to train your volunteers, to like ask questions, say like, this isn't working, call your next gen coordinator, help me figure this out. So we're gonna have like that the second half of the year for training and adapting and going over on that. So that's kind of the timeline. We do want you to know we're gonna be putting together webinars. Some will be basic like this for those that aren't at convention, and then some will just be available for Q&A and discussions. Because we realize one of the values that you'll see, that hopefully you'll learn to value, but at times is a frustration, that you'll find there's certain policies that are probably more vague than you want them. Because you're like, I would really like them to tell me exactly what to do. But you'll have understood, even just in this room, which let me tell you, you guys are this is like the cream of the crop of people here. Like, you showed up on the first opportunity to get trained on the Child Youth Protection Manual. You are highly motivated, and you think about these things. Even in here, you heard all the different contexts, right? And so we really tried to be careful to be clear and give enough, like, absolute guidelines that kids are safe, but also try not to get in the way of ministry discipleship and your ability to contextualize. And so there are places where you might be like, why didn't they just say it? Well, it's your job to just say what works in your context and to translate the principle into that. But we're also here to equip you. So you're Natalie and I, the entire all the next gen coordinators, this is number one for us, like, because we believe that keeping kids safe is part of discipleship, right? This is extremely spiritual. And so every conversation we have that keeps kids safer, like, we celebrate. And every conversation you have that with another leader that's like, hey, maybe you should think about, like, this is how we create a healthy, safe culture within our movement. Yeah. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, so absolutely, and that's something I think, I mean, I'm looking at one of our next gen coordinators over there, I know Natalie and I, like, that's what we want to be, people that you can talk to and even connect you with people. Sometimes that's what we do, we're like, hey, your context sounds so much like this other person's context, like, you guys need to talk, because you're going to be able to help each other, you know, and so go to, I think, all the districts, you can get to their next gen coordinators through their district webpage. You can go, I think there's a next gen page too.
Yeah, will actually be listed on the next gen page, but I think you're right, we could add just all our contacts on there. That's an easy fix.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, still got questions, here are the folks to reach out to. Mm-hmm. husband and wife counts as two supervisors. We would say best practice might be to not have spouses serve together, but we're not mandating that because we understand that's how some churches actually function as family.
So what we're going to do just a second is I'm going to just pray and wrap this up so all of you can leave and we're done on time. And then we'll stay and answer questions for a little bit.
Perfect.
Okay. Jesus, we thank you. Lord, we thank you that you care about our kids. Lord, we thank you that they're a priority to you, that you have plans and purposes for them. And Lord, we thank you that you have invited us to be part of those that lead them, guide them, and help steward their lives. And so, Lord, we pray for each leader here. Lord, would you give them wisdom and grace and favor, Lord, that they could be part of building cultures that value the things we talked about. Not just so that we're people that follow the rules, but because we love our kids and we want to keep them safe and we want them to flourish and grow into all God has for them. Lord, would you bless these leaders, give them strength and courage, and we thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you all. We're cheering you on. We got your backs.